You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyerman. I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. It was an interesting week for sure. Some disappointing performances, but some monster performances, again, that carried some fantasy teams to glory, whether you're playing seasonal or DFS. Quite a few surprises as well on both sides of the ledger here. So we had the three games on Thanksgiving. They pretty much played out close to what we thought in a lot of cases. But Sunday, all bets were off. It was very interesting, the results, and up and down. And some guys that really came through for their managers, especially in the backfield. And then some quarterback surprising developments here. And on either side of that, we saw some entire offenses kind of fade this week as well, led by the 49ers. And how about the Raiders, however? Josh Jacobs goes for 303 yards from scrimmage. He has the game-winning 86-yard touchdown in overtime. Ends up with 33 carries, 229 yards rushing. The second greatest fantasy performance of the season behind Joe Mixon's 5-touchdown game. So another big week for a running back carrying a team to glory. So we'll have reaction to all that here on the show. We'll also give you the injuries you need to know, notably to a quarterback and a running back there from Sunday's games. And then in between, we'll look at the disappointing performances. That includes you, all of San Francisco, except for Juwan Jennings in that game where nobody probably played in fantasy. So we'll get into that in a moment. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. We're free and available on all platforms. Today's episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can run up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. It's PrizePicks.com, promo code Locked On. All right. We'll go down through the positions here. We'll go with the surprise performances and tie that with some teams going off here. We'll start in Jacksonville. They go for the two-point conversion late. The Jaguars do. They upset the Ravens, come back. They're down a touchdown. They go for the two-point conversion, beat the Ravens by a point here as the 67-yard game-winning field goal attempt by Justin Tucker falls just short. Trevor Lawrence, what a game for him. 321-3. They lost Travis Etienne with a foot injury early in this game, but it didn't matter. He got it going with a big touchdown catch and run with Jamichael Hasty there filling in. They had Snoop Connor there. Darrell Henderson, the latest Jaguar, was not active for this game. So it was Jamichael Hasty getting 17 touches, 95 yards from scrimmage, and a touchdown. Lawrence goes 321-3. The big receiver was not Christian Kirk this week. It wasn't Evan Ingram. It was Zay Jones. Now, what happened in this game is you had Marlon Humphrey. He's known for playing the slot. They tried to put him on Christian Kirk. Humphrey got a little bit banged up in this game. Marcus Peters was stuck in bad situations here. And Zay Jones and Marvin Jones, who had the winning touchdown. Zay Jones had the winning two-point conversion. 11 catches for Zay Jones, 145 yards. And 14 targets to lead the team. So Zay Jones came back. I think this is the Jaguars offense. We thought we'd see a little bit more in garbage time with their team trailing. Lawrence playing his best football we've seen all season long in connection. Especially they took away Kirk and Ingram, two of his key targets. So pretty much went to the Joneses. No Etienne, he went to Hasty. So no problem at all. So very good performance here by the Jaguars offense as a whole. But yeah, interesting developments. We'll see if Etienne can play. He said he was okay after the game and should be good to go next week. But Hasty looks like would be the guy right now, as Snoop Connors is a limited power back and Daryl Henderson just joined the team. Well, Zay Jones, you can't go chase this game, but it's notable that they want to use him a little bit more as their outside to best receiver. No offense to Marvin Jones, but Zay is the guy that they went out and got here with Christian Kirk. So maybe some better things if Trevor Lawrence starts playing at this level. How about that performance by Mike White starting for Zach Wilson? He unlocks the entire Jets passing game. Granted, it was a very favorable matchup against the Bears. They have very little pass rush here. Their secondary is minus the rookie Kyler Gordon inside. They've been really beat up in the secondary. Got hurt here. Lost two safeties, Eddie Jackson and Dane Cruikshank. But they really just took it to them from the beginning here. Garrett Wilson, what a game for him. Five catches only, but only needed that for 95 yards and two touchdowns. Elijah Moore, and he said this is Jet football after the game. So they're definitely loving it because he had only two catches, but 64 yards and a touchdown here. So he gets the ball spread around, Mike White, did it pretty well here. And definitely the Jets came in wanting to pass because they made James Robinson a healthy scratch for this one. It was weird because then Michael Carter had an ankle sprain in this. So they were down to Zonovan Knight. What did he do? 17 touches, 103 yards. So the rookie comes in with a big role out of necessity with no Breece Hall, no Carter, no Robinson. He goes off the positive game script of his Jets pull away from Bears 31-10, playing Trevor Siemian and not Justin Fields in that game. So brutal, brutal day for the Bears. But that Jets offense, the passing game, it looked like it was early in the season with Joe Flacco, only with less volume, more efficiency here with the principles that we thought Wilson and Morgan involved. I think Corey Davis's presence was key here to helping these receivers get open matchups. We know there was no Gordon inside for Moore, and they moved around Wilson quite a bit. So good performance there. The Bears' run defense is horrible, so we liked Michael Carter in this game. All those numbers pretty much went to Zonovan Knight as soon as Robinson was ruled out as well for this game. So great performance by the Jets offense. How about Jordan Love? 113 yards and a touchdown. I know Aaron Rodgers had a pretty good game early before he had to exit with that ribs injury. His right thumb seemed to bother him a little bit more. So we'll see if Jordan Love is trusted going forward. They do get the Bears this week. So a little bit of connection there between what Mike White did and what Jordan Love could do here this coming week if Rodgers has to miss a game. They were very non-committal to Rodgers starting here. They do have a bye in week 14, so they could see how things play out, give Love a start here against the Bears in Chicago, and then bring it back with Rodgers, or they could just shut down Rodgers. So something to watch here. Rodgers has actually been sneakily good in fantasy for multiple weeks now. I know the Packers have not been lighting it up, but even my Love came in through it, the third touchdown. They had earlier touchdowns in Randall Cobb and Aaron Jones while Rodgers was in the game. So he's getting it done almost every week, multiple touchdowns. So Jordan Love would have some upside with these weapons, the way that Watson and Cobb and Lazard and the tight ends and the backs are playing right now. There's some upside there with Jordan Love. So that was a bit of a surprise there that he played that well there, especially the Eagles still having a game to potentially dominate. Speaking of the Eagles, what a performance by Miles Sanders. If they gave Miles Sanders the ball this many times, 21 carries, 143 yards, two touchdowns. This is a game in which the Eagles ran for 363 yards as a team. Jalen Hurts goes for 150. The Packers' run defense is atrocious here. So Miles Sanders looking really good here down the stretch. They're going to rely on him more and more. The weather has changed here in Philadelphia in November going into December here. But Miles Sanders has this upside when you open up the running game. This offensive line, Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson at the tackles, Jason Kelce inside. These guys are just moving people out of the way. And the threat of the Eagles passing game with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith made this possible. The Packers were deadly scared of those two receivers. They tried to shut down one, mainly Devonta Smith with Jair Alexander. Eventually gave up a touchdown to A.J. Brown. They did contain the passing game, but part of it is, well, the Eagles could just run at will in this game. So brutal, brutal game there for the Packers' run defense, but massive game for Sanders playing off Hurts. Now, we know Sanders was not the top running back. That was Josh Jacobs. 33 29. That's an amazing amount of volume. Considering he's questionable coming into the game with a calf injury, he also had 6 catches for 74 yards to lead the team ahead of Davante Adams. So it was a Josh Jacobs show in Seattle. Seattle's run defense has been vulnerable all season long, but here they couldn't get ahead so they could make Jacobs a non-factor in this game. I thought the Seahawks would be playing with a lead, but they were tight and it was back and forth all throughout here. Jacobs just carried the Raiders. I mean, it was pretty much the Derek Carr, Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs show. They actually contained Davante Adams pretty well for most of the game, so they had to rely a lot on Jacobs, and that's when you see the big number. Now, elsewhere at running back, we talked about Hasty and Knight. How about Rashad White, another rookie that we will look at? 23 touches, 109 yards against the Browns. No touchdowns, but there was no Leonard Fournette in that game, so what we're seeing is White capable of being a feature back. This is good for next year and really down the stretch this year. The hip injury for Fournette, we know the Buccaneers' schedule is rather favorable down the stretch here. So really looking at White potentially still continuing to carry this load no matter how Fournette feels here with the hip injury. But the Bucs lose the game. White, however, runs for almost 4.7 yards per carry in the game. So he looked fantastic. Also looked good in the passing game with a lot of juice. Just missed the touchdown here and to really make his day strong. But definitely looking good for him. Another rookie. We thought it was the Antonio Gibson backfield, but they pivoted back to Brian Robinson here leading the team. Maybe they liked the power matchup for Robinson a little bit better against the Falcons. But go figure, Robinson also scored a receiving touchdown here. 20 touches, 105 yards. And a score against Atlanta. Very quiet day in relation that Antonio Gibson had. So we thought it was Gibson more than Robinson, but they go flip it again on us here in Washington. So tough backfield to read here. I still think they both have some good value here as an RB2 flex play, especially in the better matchups. But yeah, big week here for the Commanders and this running game. And Brian Robinson Jr., he looked outstanding. So don't give up on him yet as potentially being the lead in this backfield. I think it'll be a pretty even split. This is what they want to do between Robinson and Gibson. They didn't really want to put the ball much in the air with Taylor Heinicke in this Falcons game. Only did it when they had to. He had an interception. He still ended up with 2 touchdowns, but still more about the running game for the Commanders going forward. How about A.J. Dillon? He wasn't doing anything for multiple weeks, basically since week 1. 8 carries, 64 yards, and a touchdown against the Eagles. Also gets 3 catches for 24. The most A.J. Dillon has been involved in a good way in this offense in quite some time. So something to look at there going forward. Will they use him down the stretch, lean on Jones and Dillon even more should Jordan Love be there as a starting quarterback short or long term the rest of the season? How about Chris Godwin? Catches 12 of 13 targets for 110 yards and a score. So second straight game, Godwin has scored. Everyone else has disappeared. We'll get into that in our disappointing segment. But Godwin locked in with Tom Brady again, that short to intermediate game where the Buccaneers are breading their butter. How about Christian Watson? He was very slow starting. We didn't think anything was going to happen. Then he exploded out of a cannon, that late touchdown to Jordan Love. So another touchdown for Watson. 4 for 110 and 1. He's the real deal here, getting it done as the premier big play threat. And really, the emergence of Watson, along with Randall Cobb returning and scoring multiple weeks, it has really hurt Alan Lazard, and we'll talk about that. But Watson, again, the rookie getting it done, maybe continues that here with Love. It doesn't matter. He seems quarterback-proof here. Treylon Burks ended up with a touchdown. He recovered a fumble by Derrick Henry in the end zone, so that counts. And he also had 4 catches for 70 yards. Another big play downfield he made for the Titans against the Bengals without Chidobe Awuzie. So again, Treylon Burks is operating like their number one. Everyone else is kind of piecemeal in the passing game in that loss for the Titans. And Olamide Zaccheaus, 5 catches, 91 yards here for the Falcons. So he led the team in receiving. Drake London looked good earlier, but Zaccheaus now with no really Kyle Pitts in the lineup. I know you had Michael Pruitt score a touchdown in that game at tight end, but really working the middle of the field slot, that's been Marcus Mariota's deal here. So Zaccheaus is that type of receiver, so might end up being the best of volume play here for Atlanta, especially if they're in the negative game scripts like this one the Falcons were. All right, a tight end, what happened to Mark Andrews? Well, he wasn't looking in the red zone as much as Josh Oliver, 4 catches, 76 yards, and a touchdown. Isaiah Likely was inactive for this game against the Jaguars. Okay, we're looking at Andrews. Again, a hot start, but then he kind of quieted. He had, I think, 33 yards receiving in the first quarter pretty early as this game was delayed with a little bit of inclement weather. Then he just disappeared. He ended up with 50 receiving yards. I think the Jaguars pretty much have been pretty good against tight ends. They focused on him. Oliver got open late. We thought could be the game-winning touchdown, but turned out to be the one that just delayed the inevitable for the Ravens. And how about Jordan Akins? 5 catches, 61 yards, and a TD. The QB changed it from one Davis Mills to Kyle Allen. He still had a good involvement of Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins, but Jordan Akins looked like a little bit more of a factor. I know that's a bit tight end committee-ish there. Brevin Jordan was inactive for this game, so really interesting, this tight end by committee. They also used the Tegan Quintoriano kid as well in this game. So, I don't know. This is Texans offense has gone totally in the tank, and we'll get into that as well in our next segment, circled around Damian Pierce. Oh, don't get me started on him, but we will talk about him and his second straight clunker of game, as well as some disappointing performances there in our next segment. This episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we're sure you're going to love. Find Block Forever now wherever you get your podcasts. Block Forever is a brand new podcast from former NFL All-Pro Ryan Khalil, the center for the Panthers, and from Audible. Ryan takes the conversation about football to the next level. Khalil sits down with star players, coaches, and former pros across the league to get real about what happens on the field and behind the scenes, inside locker rooms, during team meetings, and back at the hotel. New episodes of Block Forever will be recorded and released every week ahead of Thursday night football. Ryan and his guests will discuss topics like the player psyche, sports betting, playing through pain, being a leader, and how to deal with combative teammates. Here, nothing is out of bounds. There, and they have big-name guests, of course, Christian McCaffrey, his former teammate in Carolina, among them. It's available for free, Block Forever, on Audible or wherever you get your podcasts. It's a great format, good things all around there. You have some very exciting audiobooks, but also some exciting new podcasts, including Ryan Khalil and Block Forever. Catch the full Block Forever series available anywhere you get your podcasts, available everywhere now. Audible. Get in the game. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter most, the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard, behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's look at some of the disappointing performances here from Sunday. Patrick Mahomes will start at quarterback here. Only 320 yards. Yeah, we're asking so much of Patrick Mahomes, but the problem is the Rams put up zero fight here. Mahomes also threw a weird red zone interception, so 321-1. He did get that touchdown early to Travis Kelce, so that was good. 36 rushing yards, okay. So it wasn't a terrible day for Patrick Mahomes, but we're used to Mahomes just lighting it up big time and carrying our team, so a little bit of an off performance there from Mahomes, but we're okay with it. I mean, he'll be fine. And they get the Bengals next week. That's going to be an absolute shootout between him and Joe Burrow. So even his bad game is a pretty good game with Patrick Mahomes, and we just live with that. The 49ers, however, what a bad performance, really, for their fantasy players. They win the game 13-0 against the Saints. So the Saints didn't help because they didn't score. And the 49ers were kind of playing keep away, a couple of Robbie Gould field goals. Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't playing all that well. I don't know what happened. I think they were a bit hungover from last week's kind of a throwdown there they had on Monday Night Football against the Cardinals. I mean, returning from Mexico City, that's tough in a short week in the turnaround, but they still covered. They did well on that side of things. Their defense still showed up and played dominant. But what happened with their offense? 15 for 49 touches and yards for Christian McCaffrey. Elijah Mitchell also got hurt in this game. That was a little bit disheartening as he looked pretty good in this one. So Saints contained McCaffrey. They got their defensive help back in the front seven with Cameron Jordan, Marcus Davenport returning. They kind of controlled the 49ers a little bit up front. The 49ers kind of grinded away at yards here, but CMC only 15 for 49. Yeah, Debo Samuel, very disappointing. He got a couple rushes, didn't do anything of that here. So really tough. Three catches for 43 yards for Debo. So really rough day for him. And George Kittle went back to cooling off as well. So we had last week Brian Ayuk, 2 touchdowns. This week he leads the team with 65 receiving yards. That's it. No scores. Kittle 3 for 26. Debo 3 for 43. Not much for CMC. So there is a lot when they score a lot. But when they don't score a lot and they're splitting it up, that's what happens with the 49ers. So hopefully they'll get back on track here against the Dolphins. A big high-scoring game coming up potentially there. So that helps the Chiefs getting the Bengals and the 49ers getting the Dolphins. In the same game, Alvin Kamara, when it's a shutout, it's usually not good. 13 touches, 50 yards. So that one big game he had against the Raiders, pretty much an anomaly. When he scored, he's pretty much done nothing here since. So Alvin Kamara struggling, and that offensive line still a little bit banged up. I know they had James Hurst, and getting Anders Pete back helped a little bit, but still not a lot against that 49ers nasty front. Damian Pierce, oh gosh, this is brutal. Second straight clunker here. 8 touches, 16 yards. Dario Ogunbowale and Rex Burkhead were all late. The game script was totally negative here. Then they got the Browns this week. Hopefully they can stay in the game. It is the Deshaun Watson revenge game. Browns run defense pretty weak. So I expect Damian Pierce to rebound a little bit. I don't expect Cleveland to run away from Houston in this one. So a little bit better for Pierce, but 2 brutal games in a row with the negative game script really exploding in his face. And he also had to deal with a quarterback change and ineffective play. Let's look at Jeff Wilson Jr. What the heck? In that same game, 14 carries, 52 yards. He did get a touchdown to salvage his game. I should say 14 touches there. He ran for 34 yards. So when you look at that, that is a low output with no Raheem Mostert, ruled out with a knee injury. This was the worst run defense. The Dolphins, however, decided to just kind of throw nuts here with Jalen Waddle, Trent Sherfield, and Tyreek Hill, of course. And it was pretty much a Tua show. Then they pulled out Tua early. It was kind of late and lazy in the fourth quarter where they didn't try to build on the lead and almost let the Texans waltz back into the game. It's a very bizarre game plan by Mike McDaniel where, okay, they had a lead. You had a big lead. You said, okay, Wilson, run Wilson the rest of the way. He's your healthy back. Let's roll. He came out of the game slightly with that cramping. Remember that weird thing where Tyreek Hill was pulling in by his legs to the sideline? It was a bizarre game for the Dolphins running game. And really, they didn't put up as many numbers as we liked here offensively. A lot of field goals there from Jason Sanders. So disappointing. I think the Dolphins maybe just looking ahead to the 49ers maybe and kind of blowing off the Texans. They still covered here in this game. We're lucky to do so. But, man, it could have been a much bigger day for Jeff Wilson. It was not a good day for Cordarrelle Patterson. They're 14 touches, 73 yards. Tyler Algier is getting just as involved as him here. So pretty brutal to see that with Patterson's role diminishing. If he doesn't have a touchdown now, it's very hard to trust to Patterson, especially in tougher matchups such as one of the Commanders. How about this Buccaneers team? It was pretty brutal for Mike Evans. It was fine for Godwin and White, but how about Mike Evans, 2 for 31? What is this? I mean, it was a very favorable matchup against the Browns secondary. The big play shots, connections, I don't think he looks fully healthy. I don't know if he's connected as well with Tom Brady this season. Something is a little bit off with Mike Evans here. He only has 3 touchdowns. That's unheard of. He's usually a double-digit shoe-in for Mike Evans. So big plays, touchdowns, not coming the way we want for Mike Evans. He's still on pace for plenty of yards here, and he's fine, but the catches, efficiency are down as well as the scores, and a little bit concerning. Christian Kirk, 4 for 46. It was a little bit different. Again, the matchup favored Zay Jones instead of Christian Kirk in this one. So figured someone was going to have a tough time against that secondary, and it was Kirk, 4 for 46. Alan Lazard, again, disappearing because of Cobb and Watson. Only 2 catches, 24. He's not reliable in fantasy, especially if it's a pivot to Love, although Love did connect with Lazard once in that game. You have Tyler Boyd, I think it's a bit underrated that T. Higgins has been dominating as a number one without Jamar Chase. And Boyd has kind of been an afterthought. I think Higgins has been so good in these matchups where they haven't needed to force the ball inside to Boyd. And Higgins can also work the slot. So that's kind of hurt Boyd here. So when Chase comes back, then Higgins is going to be primarily on the outside. And then you'll see the right things happen here with Boyd and getting a little correction there. How about the combination of Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel? 4 catches, 48 yards. So disappointing against that Falcons secondary. Actually, A.J. Terrell played one of his better games. He had an interception there against Taylor Heinicke. So Terrell kind of looked like last year's Terrell a little bit, fully healthy. So contain McLaurin. They also weren't thrilled to pass all that much here. Didn't get to 200 yards, so that hurt these guys as well, as the Falcons didn't provide enough resistance in this game. So 4 for 46, so they're fine with this, I guess, if they're not in shootouts. And Curtis Samuel, no catches, 4 rushes for 13 yards. Very bizarre to working it in behind Robinson and Gibson, but that was disappointing. Hollywood Brown, if you're excited to get him back and play him opposite DeAndre Hopkins against that Chargers secondary, they worked him in slowly. They said he would be on a snap count. 6 catches, 46 yards. That's a disappointment from his first game back, but I think he'll get better here as Hopkins draws all the coverage attention there on the other side. Here, it was disappointing for Devonta Smith. He got the Jaire Alexander matchup. So it always seems like the number two receiver gets suffocated by Jaire Alexander, and they look for the double teams. 4 for 50 only for Devonta Smith. A.J. Brown, it was disappointing. He did score, but only 4 for 46. He also lost a fumble cutting into that touchdown. So disappointing for the Eagles receivers, but that's what happens when a team runs for 363 yards. And then finally, Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett at tight end. Kmet, he's kind of faded. We knew it was going to happen in a tougher matchup without Justin Fields, 3 for 27. And Gerald Everett, this was the easiest matchup in the bank, right? Foster Moreau even showed up in that Seattle matchup to score a touchdown. Gerald Everett did not score. He did score. He did score in the red zone, but it was a two-point conversion to win the game. But otherwise, 4 for 18 here. Disappointing for Gerald Everett not being involved as much. Partly what happened was Corey Linsley, the center, got concussed. Trey Pipkins hurt his knee here, and that really hurt the availability of Everett to run routes. They needed a little bit more blocking help, and that's what we saw develop there with the Chargers. In our final segment, we'll rapid fire through the injuries here for you on Locked On Fantasy Football here. Before we do that, it's exciting. We talked about Prize Picks as our title sponsor for DFS. It is Daily Fantasy Made Easy. You can play it tonight with the Colts and Steelers. You can look at Kenny Pickett and Matt Ryan, what you like in their passing yardage, Jonathan Taylor versus Najee Harris, another good matchup of young running backs. You can check from the projections available Prize Picks. All you have to do is look at whether that player will go more or less. You pick 2 to 5 players, they go score more or less than the price projection. You can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people, just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers action on any sport that you watch. It's not just football, but college basketball in full swing here. The World Cup, we know NBA and NHL, a lot of opportunities there this fall and winter. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Safe and fast withdrawals, and you can get Prize Picks currently operational in more than 30 states in Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to PricePicks.com to sign up to play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON and sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. All right, it is time to close the show here on Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll go through the injury updates you need to know here ahead of Week 13. And we'll start quarterback Aaron Rodgers. They called it a oblique injury first, but it was a ribs injury officially there. He already had the right thumb. He admitted he had broken ligaments there. So we'll see what happens here with Aaron Rodgers. Do they play him against the Bears? They do have a bye in Week 14. Do they shut him down? We're going to watch it. But Jordan Love will be a plug-and-play against Chicago, much like Mike Waite was this week. Rex Burkhead got hurt late for the Texans, so still it's been more Dare Ogunbowale there. Travis Etienne said he's fine with a foot injury, but we'll watch that. We also thought Jerry Jeudy was fine. He's missed 2 weeks. So Etienne will watch. If not, we'll see more Jermichael Hasty. Michael Carter ankle injury. Good opportunity here for Zonovan Knight. He looked ran well. They didn't play James Robinson, so Jets could just simply go to Zonovan Knight going forward here for a while. And ankle issues carried to Michael Carter last year as well. So a little bit concerning. He's a slider back. So is Elijah Mitchell. Another knee injury issue. Different MCL injury here for Elijah Mitchell. So brutal. He can't stay on the field. It's a different type of MCL, but he did miss time with the first one in Week 1. Guy can't stay on the field. That's why they made the big deal for Christian McCaffrey. So a little bit more run for Jordan Mason potentially coming up. Darnell Mooney, rough season, up and down, didn't find the end zone enough, didn't make enough big plays. The connection with Justin Fields was a little bit off. It's probably over here. Ankle injury, probably needs season-ending surgery, suffered against the Jets, so didn't even get a catch in there. So they'll move on with Chase Claypool, Byron Pringle, Dante Pettis, and the rest of their limited receiving core there for Simeon and Fields. Allen Robinson didn't play, but the bigger news is the Rams found out that he can't play the rest of the season. He's having surgery. So no Cooper Kupp, no Allen Robinson, no Matthew Stafford. They also lost Lance McCutcheon in this game, a young receiver they're high on. So brutal, brutal game there for the Rams, and more issues there. So down to Bryce Perkins, Cam Akers, and Kyron Williams as this offense with a little bit of Tutu Atwell and some other young playmakers for this team. That's about it. Jesper Horsted, he's the backup for the Raiders, so a little bit more for Foster Moreau there. So Moreau has this tight end room to himself for a while. Now, other positions, the 49ers lost a key player, Spencer Burford. He's their guard there, very athletic player. Tristan Wirfs, we're going to track that injury there with the left foot ankle, see if he has to miss time for the Buccaneers. Big loss there. He doesn't allow any sacks. Corey Linsley and Trey Pipkins again got hurt again. So center Linsley really hurt. They got blitzed inside badly. So concussion there, something to look at for that Chargers offensive line as they go forward and play the Raiders this week. We look at Von Miller. He also got banged up, we know, on Thursday. So that's the big defensive injury that we're tracking there. And that could open things up for the Bills' opponents. They do get the Patriots this week on Thursday Night Football. So there you have it. There's not too much injury damage. The big one we're watching is Aaron Rodgers. We're going to find out more as this week develops. Here, going to get Jordan Love in that offense. Didn't look too bad. Remember, Watson scored while he was in the game. Look control there with the running backs and the offensive line. Played a little bit better with David Bakhtiari and Elgin Jenkins on the left side. So really, Jordan Love might have better fantasy value here going forward. If he's healthy, he's got the weapons. If he can run just a little bit, it'll be good here for his value. But we'll watch Aaron Rodgers. Again, he's been better in fantasy than we think. He's kind of been like the sneaky Derek Carr, putting up some numbers here. So something we'll monitor here as we go forward. The biggest thing to watch there, along with Travis Etienne and his health, but relatively unscathed here from a key week here in fantasy football, as we had all the teams in action. So that's pretty good when you have limited attrition there for sure. All right, that puts a wrap on this edition of Locked On Fantasy Football, our reactions here on a Monday. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. For Locked On Fantasy Football, good luck in your matchups if you need something in the Colts Steelers game here, and if you're playing DFS, and we'll catch you tomorrow with Pickup Tuesday, looking at the waiver wire at week 13.